Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about napkins.
I'm so excited because we're going to talk about napkins!
I know! We're all going to be excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. I need a valet to come snap one on my lap. Okay.
Yes, the snapping. So tell me, when I say napkin, in your house, what would you bring me?
It's paper. I know that's terrible. I'm sorry, but that's
is
what
it
I would bring you.
A true paper square folded napkin, or is it a paper towel?
It is the 2-pack of napkins I buy from Costco.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So in my house growing up, if you said, can you get me a napkin, it would be a paper towel. But then as we got old enough to pay attention and get our own napkins, when we were at my grandparents' house, we would go get ourselves a paper towel. And my mom would be like, no, no, get a napkin. Those are paper towels and grandma wants you to use a napkin. And we're like, these are napkins, Mom. And so we had to explain this whole, she had to explain, well, they're more expensive and the napkins are for eating. And, you know, this whole difference. Paper napkin people in my house now, but paper towels can be used interchangeably, but it's mostly a cost thing.
I can remember the first time I encountered really a fabric napkin, though, was at a fancy restaurant for homecoming or prom. And
I
felt really weird about using it. And then also I was concerned that I would think that my clothing was the napkin because it was also fabric and that I would wipe my I just remember being way too preoccupied with what I was going to be wiping my hands on.
It's inevitably this snowy white napkin too, and you're eating spaghetti and you're like, no, this is not okay.
No.
Yes. My mother-in-law is a fabric napkin person and they're beautiful. She has these really great ones. And I just grab myself a paper towel now.
You're like, this is too stressful. This is too stressful.
Yes. So we'll get around to some of that cultural piece,
ooh,
but not very much. Don't worry. Here's what caught my attention. The first napkins were edible. So in ancient Greece, in the way back times, they didn't use cloth napkins. I suspect some of this is because laundering things was difficult. Making fabric took some effort. And so you didn't just have extra fabric laying around for napkins. The process for making paper was probably still in China. And so in ancient Greece, the Spartans just ate everything by hand, of course.
Yeah.
Cutlery was not a big thing back then. And so they would clean their hands off with a food object called a pomegranate. There was one picture and I could not find a recipe because I was excited to tell you guys how to make this and I did
how
not
do you
find one.
How do you spell that?
A-P-O-M-A-G-D-A-L-I-E.
I would think that the first napkin was a lump of dough they called blah, 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 mixture cut into small pieces, rolled and kneaded at the table, custom led to use sliced bread. Oh, so it wasn't cooked.
Some made it sound cooked and some made it that. Thank you for saying that, because some make it sound like it is actually a ball of dough. And other sources made it sound like it is the crumb part of the bread on the inside. So I was a little unsure about that too.
Huh.
So that's an interesting choice that evolved for them. But of course, eating with your hands and...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I was just thinking of having a glob of dough like that next to your, and you're eating like ribs or something, and then you're
right, you're really greasy. Is that gonna do it?
Yeah, then knead the dough and that dough. Oh, yeah. What were we, hygiene? Who was she? We don't know.
She did not exist till
okay.
Eventually, the ancient Romans started using a sudarium. It was a sweat cloth for their face. And then they had the mappa, which is a large cloth for eating while reclining. So it's like a blanket of napkins.
Uh-huh.
You could bring your treats home in them because you personally brought your own mappa, which makes sense at the time. Because again, fabric is not made on a production machine. And so there's greater value. So you brought your own napkin to the Roman parties and brought it home with you so you could take little leftovers. The first doggy bags.
I was going to say, it's like grandma's now with Tupperware in their in their purse.
Yes!
This is
Yep. And you should take a clue. If your grandma does that, you should bring your own Tupperware to her house because she will not give you hers, or she will be asking if you can bring her butter tub back the next time you come over.
I know. That's the one you get sent home with the Cool Whip container.
Yeah, and they're like, that's my good Cool Whip container. Could you bring that back? And now I get that because like Country Crock used to have the smaller size. They might still. I just haven't paid attention. And those were favored. Because they're a good size for like one serving of leftovers.
Yeah. No, you don't mess with a leftover container. Absolutely not.
So that was a little related side road, the early doggy bags. No, that's valuable information that, again, speaks to family culture. We're uniting people through our shared knowledge of the butter or Cool Whip container. All right. So when did paper napkins come in? This is everybody's exciting question because that's where we live now. They, of course, originate from China, the early paper makers. They got to be pretty expert at it. But they were using folded squares of paper in baskets that held teacups. So they called those chifa, those little papers. So they, maybe napkins, but they were also protecting the China. And then we come to the Middle Ages, which is history's hard reset. Push the power button and started a lot of things over. So no napkins initially. You would wipe your face with your piece of bread. You would wipe your hands on your shirt, whatever was around. This actually became like a culturally social definer that the people of the upper crust would use napkins because they wanted to separate themselves from the low people that just wipe their hands on bread and their clothes.
Is this also the time when people were wiping their faces like on the tablecloth?
Probably, yes. Yeah. Yes, because a variation of the tablecloth called a surnap is originated in this time. And if you had sufficient status, you had one of those. And the cloth eventually made it to less formal settings too, but it started it in the upper crust. Yeah. So there's this like this long bank of fabric. They just wipe on the tablecloth, which I can kind of see the logic there. But yeah,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to jump forward a little bit because this totally relates to the era when napkins, paper versus fabric in the 50s. Ooh. The 50s were a really interesting time, culturally speaking. Now we're going to get there slowly. So, because the next thing is forks. So we'll come back to Emily Post. Put a pin in that. I'm sorry. I got too excited because it's Emily Post. But put a pin in it. Put a fork in it.
Hey.
So forks came relatively late, in my opinion. I'm sure they were around because a clever people is going to stab it with a stick and then they're going to be like, you know, a forked stick would be super great. So they've probably been around much longer, but they didn't become a common item until the 18th century. So for those who can never remember, that's the 1700s. And some sources say that forks were common in France and England and Sweden in that century. Like in the 17th century, excuse me, the century prior. But they're sure solidly Great Britain, 18th century, we started using forks. They did not become popular in the North Americas until the time of the American Revolution, give or take. We're a little slow on the uptake over here.
You know, we're so independent and also eating with spoons. Yes,
exactly. So this is when napkins take a turn and suddenly are not vital to the meal because you don't have to touch your food anymore for the most part. You might still be eating meat on the bone with your hands, but a lot of things you're suddenly not touching. Whereas before, and so suddenly napkins are not the big social status thing. They still are, though, because you hear about that. We'll talk about it in the 50s. Mm. When did paper napkins come to the West? I know you were excited to hear about that. 1800s, the 19th century. And it comes from Japan, though. The English brought these back. The John Dickinson Limited Company is a British firm, acquired decorated napkins from Japan. And this excited a craze of printing logos and marketing. And it reminded me of your Valentine's.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that cultural divider of, well, we have fabric napkins.
Oh, yes.
Post-World War II, it was still a faux pas to use like a paper napkin by some. It was a status symbol not to use them. But in the 1950s, you got to start using paper napkins.
Well, it's definitely the time of let's mechanize everything we can and make it all modern. And
all hail Judy Jetson.
I feel like that all of a sudden you're figuring out fancy ways to put your paper napkin in like a napkin ring.
Yes. And like the origami it and
with your jello mold with peas and lime jello.
Yes.
So delicious.
Exactly. So there's this question. What does Emily Post think about paper napkins? And she says, I believe this is a 1948 quote, "It's far better form to use paper napkins than linen napkins that were used at breakfast. Don't reuse your linen napkins. Give someone a fresh napkin."
reuse your napkin? Mm-hmm.
Which, oh, barf. I know, but if you're rich enough, you don't have to. So this is for the people in the middle that had fabric napkins, but just one set for company. So I don't see that as a ringing endorsement for paper napkins. It's simply a, this is the lesser of two evils.
She's like, if you can't afford someone to wash your napkins for you, use paper so you're not disgusting.
Exactly. Yes. So this, I think, speaks to my grandma's, we don't use paper towels. That is a towel. We use a napkin. That idea that it's napkins, not paper towels. They might have been less expensive, too, to use napkins. But there's definitely, there's a proper thing to use.
And then also, did you ever experience this? Because I can remember my mom would be like, a paper towel is for cleaning.
Yes.
And a napkin is for napkining. Mm-hmm. And I can remember as like a middle schooler being, they're both paper. If I fold the paper towel in half, it looks like a napkin. And she was like, no, you crazy person. Yes!
Now, to this day, if you go to my mom's house, it's likely that you will be using a paper towel. But if it's at a meal, she will fold them in half like napkins. So they are displayed tidily.
It's so funny how we, the mental hoops that we jump through to make things acceptable.
Yep. Yeah. She likes it orderly. And yeah. Would you like to take a side road down a public service announcements road?
Absolutely. Yes. Bring it.
So
bring
modern
it.
Napkins. Once a napkin has food on it, it's now sort of a mixed media and it's not recyclable for that reason. But let's say you dumped a bunch of napkins on the floor and you know you won't use them now, so you're going to recycle them. You should not, because we in the US and probably around the world use so much recycled paper that as you recycle and reuse paper, the fibers get shorter and shorter. And napkins are kind of the, like, that paper has gone through five or six other iterations. And so it you can't use it for anything else anymore. It's already essentially pulp. So folks, if you're recycling napkins, just compost them. They're halfway already digested by the earth. They're real close to the end of the line.
See, and I always feel bad because I'm like, I should be using cloth napkins. And then I'm like, how much water?
It's a problem.
Am I using? I don't know. Do you have the answer?
Can you please
tell me what I'm supposed to be doing?
Because I remember texting you. I don't know what we were texting about, but I'm like, do I really have to rinse out this can that I recycle? Because I am wasting water to recycle this can. And the answer is yes, because again, it needs to be just metal, not metal and food. Yeah. So that's an interesting ramble down napkin road that I didn't know I needed to take. But as soon as I saw the headline, I thought, yeah, I do want to know what they used to use for napkins.
Okay, I'm definitely not using the raw dough. I read one thing while you were talking where they would use the raw dough. And then when you were done, you'd throw that to the dogs. That can't be good for the dogs. And also just raw dough. I'm just...
I really wanted to find a recipe. Are we talking just like flour and water probably?
Probably.
I like the idea that they're using like a pita and then they got savory chicken on it and they eat it. That also feels weird.
Well, but then it's not wasteful, right? I mean, just thinking of trenchers, you know, where it was a piece of hollowed out bread and you'd put your food in it and then you'd eat your food out of it like it was a plate and then you would eat it.
Yeah.
Or they'd reuse it.
And now they sell it to you for $5 extra and they call it a bread bowl and it's fancy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Before we get any weirder, if you'd like to hear more episodes, other episodes, different subjects, new things, we got lots of stuff. We have an episode about rat vaginas that was delightful.
It really was.
It's very funny. It's called Rat Fannies. You should totally check it out. It's hilarious. Yes. And then also next was Oreology. Mm-hmm. Also great. Give that a listen.
And it has a practical instruction. You could become an oreologist. So we're giving back to the community.
We're turning you into citizen scientists and you get to eat cookies. I don't understand how that could be anything that's not good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your reviews and comments. We appreciate every single one. It makes us happy.
It really does. Yes.
Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.